opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. My name is Heather Hare, and I'm the host of today's show, Treading the Undercurrent, a new show at KUCI about the issues surrounding censorship and our First Amendment rights. Today, we will be covering a topic that is very, very close to all of us, censorship in music. We will have a special guest today who's here in the studio, Dr. Larry Singer. He holds a doctorate in clinical psychology, but that's only because no school offers an advanced degree in rock music. He was born with the Beatles album in his hands and has never looked back. While in school here at UCI, he began the training program to be a DJ at KUCI. Though it was his sophomore year, he says his college career began when he joined the station. From 87 to 94, he helmed various shows with different partners. Censorship of rock music and freedom of speech were issues he was passionate about and conducted extensive research about the subject while at UCI, later using it as a basis for presentations to classes. To this day, he remains staunch in his support of freedom of speech. And before we get started with our interview today, I would like to make a few community announcements. One, my heart goes out to everyone who has been displaced by the fires. I wanted to just announce a website that has been created by faculty and staff here at UCI. And the website address is http://calfirehelp.com. That's CalFireHelp.com. And basically, you can go there and register to provide temporary housing for people who are displaced. And if you need the housing, you can go on there and do a search. So it's definitely for the givers and the receivers, and it's an excellent website. And that again is http://calfirehelp.com. Okay, today we will be looking at the history behind music censorship in America, the rating system that is taking place in retail stores throughout, some of the laws that have been set in place, and the way that the corporations have been successful in censoring the music. We will look at recent incidents of censorship in the last few years, including with bands such as Pearl Jam, artist Sean Kingston, and look at how music has been affected post 9/11. So I'm going to go ahead and play a few tracks that are relevant to the program, and then we'll talk to you in a few minutes. Once again, you're listening to Treading the Undercurrent, 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine.
One, two, three, two, two. Warning, this is a parental advisory. The words on this disc are in no way offensive. They're just gonna say what you already know. Warning, this is a parental advisory. The words that you hear will just pander and please you and leave you much duller than you were before. Freedom of speech is a figure of speech. The sure way to lose it is if you don't use it. We're on some moral desert, or is it a beach? And everyone's dying of thirst, so we're taking the fifth on the first. Warning, this is a parental advisory. The words on this disc are in no way offensive. They're just gonna say what you already know. Warning, this is a parental advisory. The words that you hear will just pander and please you and leave you much duller than you were before. We all love a song that has nothing to say, but why the aversion to sex and subversion? And everyone's trying to keep Satan at bay, but how can he lead us to ruin? when we all know he has the best tunes. One in this is a parental advisory. The words on this disc are in no way offensive. They're just gonna say what you already know. One in this is a parental advisory. Lessons and morals aren't easily bought, and everyone knows lyrics require thought.
And the warning reads,
parents, protect your children
from mediocrity and blandness.
Don't let them grow up to be
as boring as you are.
One in this is a crime against humanity. Failed innuendo has won out again. Let's hide everything that we don't understand. One in this is a pure case of insanity. How can we bear all this lyrical inanity when we know the wrong things will be first to be banned?
When we know the wrong things will be first to be banned.
When we know the wrong things will be first to be banned.
Hey Wes, what'd be the first thing you'd ban?
I'd definitely ban Richard Marx, because I hate his haircut and he's a repeat offender. Who would you ban?
Well, Phil Collins, I can't complain at the haircut, but he's pretty boring himself.
No, I'm always getting at him. I think definitely how about Heart, yeah.
What's that song?
What was that song that you sing?
Yeah. Let's see. All I wanna do is make love to you. Yeah, that one.
And how about your favorite band for the LA Guns?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful band.
Good logo.
They're not nearly as cute as Poison, I'll say that much, but almost as bland.
Good as Warren, though.
Yeah.
I like Warren.
Mm, they're good.
And what I can understand is how come Elton John does those all those foul songs that he never gets banned? What did he have? Didn't he have that one called Don't Let Your Son Go Down on Me?
Or someone shaved my wife tonight.
Yeah, I think so. I guess that's why they call it, what was that?
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your homes. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your homes. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Houses will be inspected for trace elements at noon. Anyone who fails to display the required embossed black velvet Mexican painting of Alexander Haig on their living room wall will be shot. Cameras and surveillance equipment will be posted on all lampposts and streetlights. Anyone failing to attend required worship services on Sunday will be promptly arrested and dispatched to a re-education resort. Stay in your homes. Remain calm. The number one enemy of progress is questions. National security is more important than individual will. All sports broadcasts will proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, everything is done for you.
All perversions of the third eye through distorted and exaggerated images, perverted movements of the body and breakdancing and other forms of dancing. And we especially call for the judgment in this hour and the destroying of rock music directed specifically against children through the videos that were portrayed. And working specifically through these individuals, for whom we call forth the judgment of the sacred fire in this hour before the throne of Almighty God, Michael Jackson, Prince, Bruce Springsteen, Tina Turner, David Bowie, Van Halen, Madonna, Huey Lewis and the News, The Cars, Herbie Hancock, Bonnie Tyler, Stevie Nicks, Men at Work, ZZ Top, Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson, Weird Al Yankovic, Cindy Lauper, Pink Floyd, The Pretenders, Billy Joel, Billy Idol, Elton John, Neil Young, Sheena Easton, Patti Smith and Scandal, Fashion, Big Country, Morris Day and The Sign, John Lennon, Apollonia 6, REO Speedwagon, David Gilmour, The Rolling Stones, Pat Benatar, Hall & Oates, Wham, Rebby Jackson, Adam Ant, Bananarama, Christine McVie, Queen, Jack Cougar Mellencamp, U2, Sirens, Fleetwood Mac, The Alan Parsons Project, Rick Springfield, The Thompson Twins, Missing Persons, Duran Duran, Bleak, Eurythmics, Culture Club, including Boy George, Band-Aid, Relax, Michael Jackson, Prince, Bruce Springsteen, Tina Turner, David Bowie, Van Halen, Madonna, Huey Lewis and the News, The Cars, Herbie Hancock, Bonnie Tyler, Stevie Nicks, Men at Work, ZZ Top, Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson, Weird Al Yankovic, Cindy Lauper, Pink Floyd, The Pretenders, Billy Joel, Billy Idol, Elton John, Neil Young, Sheena Easton, Patti Smith and Scandal, Fashion, Big Country, Morris Day and The Time, John Lennon, Apollonia 6, REO Speedwagon, David Gilmour, The Rolling Stones, Pat Benatar, Paul & Oates, Wham, Rebby Jackson, Adam Ant, Bananarama, Christine McVie, Queen, Jack Cougar Mellencamp, U2, Sirens, Fleetwood Mac, The Alan Parsons Project, Rick Springfield, The Thompson Twins, Missing Persons, Duran Duran, 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 Duran Duran,
who is to say when musical performance is too violent, too sexual, or carries dangerous political or social messages? If a performer pumps their fist in the air during a performance, who is to say that the act is implicitly violent or a call for political dissent? Even if the performer didn't intend to mean this, is it appropriate to consider alternative interpretations? And when someone in power makes such a declaration, should those judgment calls be accepted blindly by others? Does a society have a call to action when anyone interprets a musical expression to contain messages that arguably are not apparent to others or not in line with the stated intention of the performer? Here today in the studio, we have Dr. Larry Singer here to talk about censorship in music. Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hello. Thank you. What you just heard, actually, I'll back announce so the people know, that was Destroy Rock and Roll by Milo, and it's kind of a dance remix. They took the sound bite of this speech that was used in a few different songs before, actually, and it's obviously he's listing all these musicians and music styles that they want to ban. Before that, you heard Jello Biafra doing Message from Our Sponsor, and Jello Biafra was the lead singer of Dead Kennedys, who was a target of censorship, and he was tried for distributing pornography back in the 80s for his album Frankenchrist. And then before that was John Wesley Harden and Steve Wynn doing Warning Parental Advisory. Censorship has always been affiliated with the Parents Music Resource Center, which is Tipper Gore and Susan Baker, and that was back in the 80s, but it's been around for many, many years, actually ever since rock and roll first started. People always wanted to contain it because rock and roll was such a threat to the decency of society. You know, back in the 50s, they wanted to censor Elvis Presley because his shaking on the Ed Sullivan Show, and they shot him from the waist up because they don't want to show him his lower body shaking, because that was representative of sexuality. Why don't you play track number 4, which is Darling Nikki by Prince, which pretty much started the Parents Music Resource Center, and then we'll get to talking.
You could say she was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating with magazines. She said, "How'd you like to waste some time?" And I could not resist when I saw little Nikki grind. Nikki.
All right, that was Prince doing Darling Nikki, which, like I said, that pretty much sparked the whole controversy over rock music lyrics. Susan Baker, wife of James Baker, it was Tipper Gore, bought that CD for her daughter and didn't know that those lyrics were on the album, and talked about masturbation, which they felt was not appropriate for a 14-year-old to hear about. So that was the song that pretty much sparked the interest in the Parents Music Resource Center.
It seems as though that organization, their primary focus was to convince record companies to monitor and rate artists' releases with a system similar to the MPAA system for movies. It looks like they met with the Senate. This organization met with the Senate in the summer of 1985 with a list of many demands, one of them being the parental advisory sticker. And by 1990, the sticker graced albums such as Twisted Sister and Two Live Crew. There were incidents in which that sticker was used as a de facto obscenity standard. Typical was an occurrence shortly after the advisory stickers got slapped onto albums. It involved Two Live Crew in 1990 in Hollywood, Florida. Their album, As Nasty As We Wanna Be, contained a song called Me So Horny, which was deemed particularly offensive. It didn't matter that the section of the song saying Me So Horny was lifted from a line in Full Metal Jacket, a film nominated for an Academy Award. The issue of race and music censorship also evolved in the 90s with the appearance of gangsta rap. Groups like NWA received letters from the FBI after releasing a CD that had a song on it, F the Police. The FBI asked them never to play the song in concert. The interesting thing is, once you get past the violent overtones and the language, you're basically dealing with the political protest songs. They're speaking out against your society and what people want to see changed.
Mm-hmm. An interesting thing about Two Live Crew is that, you know, it was put out on an independent label, so it didn't have much promotion behind it. But it went on to sell 2 million copies because of the promotion of them putting a label on it and saying that this is bad stuff. And putting a label on something doesn't necessarily tell you what exactly is offensive about it, what someone can expect it. It's just a label on there. The movie, this film is not rated, talks about the rating system in movies and how inconsistent they are in rating the films, you know, the PG, the PG-13, the R, the X, NC-17. It's just real kind of arbitrary how they rate the films, and it's the same thing with music. They put stickers on instrumental albums because they think that it's going to be offensive. Frank Zappa had an album, Jazz from Hell, completely instrumental album, yet they wanted to ban that one because of the title of the album, Jazz from Hell.
I discovered that Walmart and other chains, retail chains, have refused to stock stickered CDs.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is that when an album would get a sticker on it, it's just pretty much... That tells a chain not to release it. And, you know, it's funny, but back in the 80s, I was sheltered here in Southern California, so we didn't have Walmarts here, at least then, in the 80s. And I didn't really understand the significance of an album not being stocked at a Walmart. I mean, you know, okay, so go to a Tower, or go to a Warehouse, or go to a Sam Goody, or Music Plus, or whatever you... You know, well, why don't people do that? Well, back in the Midwest, all there are Walmarts. That's the place that people go buy their music. And so if an album is not stocked at a Walmart in Idaho, then they're not going to be able to buy the music.
Because record companies are not federally owned, their censorship is legal and constitutional. The censorship of music only violates our constitutional rights when the government, its laws, or its agencies conduct the restraint themselves. Therefore, when we speak of music censorship, we are usually referring to community or corporate attempts to regulate the society according to what they deem appropriate based on their standards and beliefs. Members of Congress have held hearings and made suggestions as to how they could censor the music industry. The Telecommunications Act of 1996 required the Federal Communications Commission to issue guidelines for the labeling of sexual, violent, or mature materials unless the entertainment industry agreed to a system of self-imposed labeling. So this is where we got our labeling laws. And I was really fascinated with just researching the history of the music censorship and going back to 1956. It was a banner year for censoring music from radio. ABC radio bans from all of its network affiliates Billie Holiday's song, Love for Sale, because of its prostitution theme. ABC also was responsible for a lyric change in Cole Porter's I Got a Kick Out of You from I Get No Kick from Cocaine to I Get Perfume from Spain. The NBC and CBS radio networks joined ABC in banning a novelty hit by Dot and Diamond called Transfusion because, according to an NBC executive, there's nothing funny about a blood transfusion. Very interesting.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, but one of the most important things we need to remember about censorship is that it's really a form of control. You're controlling information. You're controlling the information that people get. So if you censor it, then the people aren't going to hear this information. They're not going to have it. So it's really just a form of controlling what people know about. There was a song where they mentioned rubbers. Okay? And people thought that it was condoms, prophylactics, but what they the rubbers that they were talking about in the song, I've got it somewhere, but the rubbers that they were talking about were actually rubbers that you wear on your feet in the rain.
Interesting.
It's like the whole controversy over sex education. You know, we don't need sex education in the schools because if you tell kids about sex, then they're going to want to go do it. But if you give them the education, then they're going to have the proper knowledge so that they can make an informed decision. And, you know, all throughout our history, people have been repressed with information because if they have the information, then they're going to want to use this knowledge. So as long as you can control the information, then you control what they know about and you control their ability to make an informed decision.
And that's a great segue, actually, into what I wanted to bring up. I know I've discussed this in previous shows, which is in 1973, the Supreme Court attempted to define obscenity in Miller versus California. They established a three-part test for obscenity. One, hardcore sexual material that appeals to the prurient interest. Two, patently offensive under community standards. Three, lacks serious literary or other value. This word prurient really bothers me. In the dictionary, prurient is defined as, quote, having, inclined to have, or characterized by lascivious or lustful thoughts, desires, having a restless desire or longing, unquote. The truth is, this ideology actually goes very far back. In 1873, the Comstock Law was enacted, which Anthony Comstock, a guy the U.S. Post Office made a special agent, unpaid, was permitted to go to any post office and inspect mail he suspected was obscene. This law criminalized sending obscene publications, contraception, or abortion through the mails. The Supreme Court said that the obscenity provisions of the federal postal law were adopted to punish any use of the mails to, quote, corrupt the moral of the people, end quote. Particularly, quote, that form of immorality which has relation to sexual impurity. Which kind of goes back to these themes that are being censored and blocked within the music. A publication was obscene if there was, quote, in it anything of a lewd, lascivious, and obscene tendency at all. So,
well, you know, and they always band around this this word, or actually this phrase, when they talk about censorship. They say anything that would cause a reasonable person to...
Who is this reasonable person?
To be offended. Something that would cause a reasonable person to be offended. Well, I want to find a reasonable person. Exactly. Show me a reasonable person.
Who is this reasonable person? I want to meet them. There are... I know that you're really current, Larry, on like the... some. Recent incidents of censorship within the last, you know, few years. I know that there was a big thing with Pearl Jam, actually.
Yeah,
AT&T played Gatekeeper just on a webcast, actually. There was an incident in concert, which I know, Larry, you can tell me the story of what happened, but also during the live Lollapalooza webcast of a concert by them, Just as Eddie Vedder launched into a lyric against President George Bush, the lines, quote, George Bush, leave this world alone, end quote, and, quote, George Bush, find yourself another home, end quote, was somehow, it got lost in the mix. Okay, so somebody censored it out. They blamed it on a third party.
AT&T blamed it on their... The people that were in charge of the broadcast.
Right.
But still, it was somebody that was in charge of the broadcast that felt that they had the need to edit that out so that nobody would hear it.
Blue Room Entertainment, I believe.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of... AT&T's history is not that good. They've broken their trust with their customers quite often. They have a history of handing over private phone records to the government, promising to deliver services to underserved communities, and then skipping town, pledging never to interfere with the free flow of information online, while hatching plans with the likes of Cisco, Viacom, RIAA, and MPA to build and deploy technology that will spy on user traffic. So, also, I know recently there was a, I want Larry to tell about the Pearl Jam concert incident.
Yeah, basically, Eddie Vedder tends to go in tirades against Bush. He has this little mask, this little Bush mask that he brings out during the concert, and...
although he supports the troops wholeheartedly.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, but supporting the troops and backing Bush are two different things.
Exactly.
I mean, and we're continually hammered in that if you don't support the current administration, you're not supporting the troops, which isn't true at all. I mean, Henry Rollins, you know, an avid supporter of the troops, he goes over and entertains the troops continually, yet he is very, very against the current administration. And people just tend to think that if you don't support the government, then you're not supporting the troops, and that's not true at all. Eddie Vedder went on one of his tirades against Bush, and the people that were in charge of the broadcast felt the need to censor that out, because that's going over the air, and people are going to hear that, and we need to control that information that people have. Here's a brilliant example of controlling the information. Clear Channel, on probably September 12th, 2001, sent out a memo to their more than 100 how many stations? They're the largest owner radio station in the United States. I mean, you know, I'm surprised that KUCI is known by them. But
actually, 1,170 radio stations.
1,170, so...
Yeah.
So anyhow, they sent out a memo to their radio stations to pull certain songs from their playlist. Now, you know, I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of songs out there that people can play, but they specifically cited these particular songs
that were considered lyrically questionable.
Yes, I mean, we're talking about... And what they did is they didn't really listen to these songs and say, oh, this is a bad song. They said, okay, find songs having to do with airplanes, find songs having to do with terrorists, find songs having to do with anything having to do with anything that could possibly entail bad. Songs that were banned were, or not necessarily banned, just they told them not to play these songs for now, at least. Sugar Ray's Fly, Steve Miller's Jet Airliner, Nine Inch Nails' Head Like a Hole, AC/DC's Shoot to Thrill, and Highway to Hell. Pat Benatar, Hit Me With Your Best Shot. Kansas' Dust in the Wind. Jerry Lee Lewis' Great Balls of Fire. R.E.M., It's the End of the World as We Know It. They were told by their boss, so to speak, that they should not play any of these songs because these songs will bring bad vibes to people, the listeners. Here's an interesting track. I want you to play track number 5 on the CD. Can you set that one up?
Sure, no problem.
And, now, just get ready at the censor button because we might need to edit some stuff. Well, you know, you're not allowed to play certain words. Just go ahead and play it, and I'll tell you when to mute the track. I was messing with you there, Heather. There was nothing profane about that, was there? Did you find anything profanity?
I was listening, but nothing happened.
That was a Rumble by Link Ray, believe it or not, and that was banned back in the 50s even though it had no lyrics. Because the name of the song, Rumble.
Wow.
And they thought that was going to inspire violence and incite violence in youth. So Control.
In 1970, as part of the Nixon administration's anti-drug efforts, the FCC sent a telegram to all radio owners warning them to remove all songs condoning drug use. Some of the songs in question included Yellow Submarine, 8 Miles High, and, believe it or not, Puff.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
The Magic Dragon.
Yep.
They contain no actual drug references whatsoever, literal or figurative.
You know, an important aspect of censorship is that what censorship does is it takes responsibility away from the parents. Parents need to be responsible to educate their child about things. And if the music's being censored, if the information's being censored, then, gee, I don't need to educate them because it's not out there. So why even bother? In the PMRC hearings, Dee Snider from Twisted Sister had an exchange with Al Gore, and Al Gore was kind of probing Dee Snider, and he says, Mr. Snider, what's the name of your fan club? And Dee Snider said, the fan club is called the SMF Fans of Twisted Sister. And Gore said, and what does SMF stand for when it's spelled out? And then, you know, he was kind of probing. He was Socratic questioning Dee Snider, and Dee Snider said, well, it stands for the Sick Mother Effing Fans of Twisted Sister. And Senator Gore says, is this also a Christian group? And Dee Snider replied back, well, I don't believe profanity has anything to do with Christianity, thank you. But the thing is that they're often, you know, often the people that are in charge, or at least the people that want to censor, you know, want to impose their, quote, Christian beliefs upon everybody else. So that's why he brought that up. But then Gore also said, let us suppose the lyrics are not printed. Then what choice does a parent have? To sit down and listen to every song on the album? And Dee Snider responded, well, if they're really concerned about it, I think they have to. You know, so that's the responsibility of the parent to actually take part in what information their child is learning about. And Gore responded back, do you think it's reasonable to expect parents to do that? Do you think it's reasonable to actually expect parents to take part in their child's upbringing and the entertainment that their child is receiving? Is kind of what he's saying. And then Dee Snider responded back, being a parent is not a reasonable thing. It's a very hard thing. I'm a parent and I know. Okay, I'm a new parent. I only have one child, but I'm learning there's a lot to being a parent that you did not expect. It's not always a cute baby. There's a lot of labor, a lot of time, and a lot of effort that goes into it. It's not totally pleasurable. So, what censorship does is it kind of takes responsibility away from the parent to be active in their child's upbringing.
I know recently there's a hit song out right now by Sean Kingston. He's an American rapper, and he has the song Beautiful Girl. It's about a girl so beautiful that he is afraid that their relation will never work. Quote, you'll have me suicidal when you say it's over. Now, my son has that on his ringtone on his cell phone, and he loves that song. And I'm convinced that my son understands the artistic merit of that song and that choice of language. I don't think that it's going to cause him to become suicidal or influence him in that way. And have you heard that song, Larry?
I have not heard it.
It's a good song. It's a very, very catchy song. Now, as far as the post 9/11 influences. Is there anything, how do you feel that that's affected kind of the social climate has affected the music industry?
You mean insofar as what? Insofar as controlling information?
As far as what can be released, what is playing over the airwaves?
Well, the airwaves are getting so strictly controlled now. It's real hard to get anything played on the air these days. Because you have so few people holding so much power over the airwaves. So that's why the internet is such a great place to discover things, to discover new music, because it's not controlled. But there's powers that want to come into control of the internet too. The airwaves, I mean, you know, it's you have a few people, and another thing to keep in mind about censorship is that it's also controlled, believe it or not, by the money, the big bucks, the advertisers. If an advertiser says, I will not give you money because you're playing this song and that song, then the big media corporations have to give in to the advertisers. If an advertiser is going to pull out, then they're not getting their bread and butter. So it is definitely controlled by where the money is. And the advertisers have a lot of say in what gets played. You know, a great example is Janet Jackson's nipple on the Super Bowl. You remember that one, don't you?
Can you say that word on the air?
Yes, you can say that on the air.
Yeah, I didn't actually see that in person, but I did see a photograph of it later.
Yeah. And her nipple was covered up
she had like a little piece of jewelry on it.
A little piece of jewelry. Exactly. So the, quote, nipple was covered up, but still, you know, people sort of filled in the blanks with what they thought was there. advertisers went uproar about that because, oh God, you know, I don't want our core audience to be seeing that. You know, I think I heard a story somewhere about some woman suing, what is it, CBS, is that where the Super Bowl was being played? Mm-hmm. Suing CBS because her son saw the nipple.
Mm-hmm. It's those few complaints.
Yes.
Yeah, the few.
And now her son is harmed for life because he saw a covered nipple. I mean, you know, it's just, where do you draw the line? And whose standards do you use? You know?
Exactly.
The reasonable man. They always say that one, the reasonable man. The reasonable person, but I really don't know a reasonable person. So, if you want to play song number 8, this is an interesting one.
Yeah.
All right, and we got to go now. But I played that song because it's real interesting. Back in 64, the powers that be feared the contained obscene messages because it was pretty indecipherable what they were saying. And they actually commissioned an FBI investigation into the lyrics of Louie Louie, and 2 years and millions and millions and millions of dollars later, and the FCC, they had an FCC commission too, they determined, guess what? We don't know what they're saying because it's indecipherable. but the whole thing that set it off was that nobody knew what the lyrics were saying. So over time, urban legends started, and the kids got together and they wrote out what they thought the lyrics were, and the lyrics that they thought that they were profane or at least dirty, but the actual lyrics weren't in and of itself dirty. So what they thought that it said was dirty, but what it actually was wasn't dirty. So so after 2 years investigation, they said, we don't know what they're saying. But what they thought they were saying was profanity.
And with that, we will have to, unfortunately, wrap up the show today.
Oh, there's so much more to talk about.
There is. You're listening to Treading the Undercurrent, KUCI FM in Irvine, 88.9. And we want to thank you for listening today, and we look forward to next week's show. We will have an artist on the show who actually experienced censorship herself. We will have her on the show to tell her story. I'm very, very excited, and I hope that everybody has a wonderful weekend, and that's it. Next, we have Firehouse Rock, an awesome show. With reggae, 3 hours of nonstop reggae. So if you're at work typing away, go online, listen to it. Streaming live, 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, www.kuci.org. Have a beautiful weekend.